Yeah, because we carry around so much stress, for us to go from like frantic, chaotic lives to sitting and quieting our minds is really hard to do. It can be if you're not in the practice. And so that's what this technique is.
It's- All right. And here we are. We're Angie and Annalie, Brain Basement, two friends who talk about feelings honestly and the chaos of our lives moving around the world and how to feel the feelings in the middle of our chaos, right?
Yep, that's us.
So what has happened? What course did you do over the weekend?
Yeah, so I took a course through an organization called Art of Living. And have you heard of them?
I have. I know Art of Living from when we were in Baku. There was that yoga teacher who offered classes. And Art of Living was like, I knew that, I think they wear all white, right?
the head teacher does, the founder.
Oh, really? I thought all the
people- Oh, you know what? You're right. No, that's right. Because the guy that was in charge of the Baku chapter, or whatever they call him, was wearing a white robe looking thing.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So you're right. I first found out about them in Baku as well.
Uh-huh.
And a friend recommended their organization to me, and I took the meditation course in Baku and really liked it. But they had this other course called the Happiness Course, and my friend had taken it and she said, you have to do this. It's fantastic. But I just kind of put it off. But recently I bumped into some research that had been done on this specific technique that they teach in the Happiness Course. And it's been renamed to, it's called now Sky Breath Yoga. Well, it's the sky technique, but what it stands for is S is, what is it?
Oh, it's an acronym, SKY.
Yeah. So the S is
serenity.
There it is. Yeah. Sudarshan. Sudarshan Kriya Yoga.
Oh, I wasn't going to guess that.
Sudarshan wasn't in the back of your head.
Sudarshan took me 5 minutes. That came up when I was like, starts with S.
Which is a perfect example of why they call it sky, because it's a little bit hard to say and remember. But
so what?
Yeah, it was really fantastic. Yeah, so I thought it was going to be, my friend had kind of told me it was that they teach you a breath technique that is kind of coupled with meditation. So I went into it thinking, oh, they're just going to teach us another way to deep breathe in order to relax and calm ourselves. But it was so much more than that. So it's 3 days. And it's 3 hours each day. And
before you get started, if anyone is listening to this, if we ever have a podcast listener, uh-huh. I want to point out that this isn't an advertisement because we're not getting paid and we don't even know. So all of our stuff is just like, let's try this and see what happens. So this is just like our genuine reaction to something that happens. And I haven't talked to Annalie about this yet. So this is my genuine interest and curiosity in all of my, if I'm asking too many questions, like, was everyone wearing white and what happened?
No, I want all the questions. And it's a good point. And yeah, this is not, I didn't do this for any reason except for my own self-discovery, and it's just been on my list of things to do for quite a few years now. So,
and that's what's fun. Like when I talk to people, I'm like, what book are you reading? What are you doing? You know, it's just like you heard about this from a friend and then somehow it didn't come up in your calendar until now, and then it worked in. And I want to hear, like, what did you do? How did it happen?
Yeah.
Okay. So continue. Sorry for interrupting.
No, that's good clarification. So anyway, it's cool because I've never done a silence retreat, but it almost felt like a little bit of a sample of what that would be like, or I imagine would be like, because not only are you meeting for these big chunks 3 days in a row, but they're asking you to eliminate certain things just for that time. So like coffee, alcohol. Yeah, they said coffee. They're like, if you're a coffee lover, then, you know, maybe just go down to half a cup or something. But they said also, like, try to stick to a vegetarian diet, that it's more impactful to do these techniques and this practice on not an empty stomach, but just, you know, you're eating foods that are easily digested. So what other things did they ask? They didn't really have us go off social media or our phones, but there was kind of that feel to it. Like, just try to put yourself in a place where you can be open to noticing a difference, if there is one in your life. So we just met on Zoom, and it was a group of maybe 15 of us. And there were two instructors and like four volunteers. So all the volunteers have already done the program and were there to just support. And that part of it was really cool. There was just, they were quick to foster that feeling of community among the participants and the volunteers, because it's an interactive course. So they were asking us open-ended questions. By the third day, we were like bearing our souls to these strangers. But that element of it made it really meaningful, because it wasn't just like two instructors talking the whole time. Hmm. I'm trying to think where to start. So I guess the history of this, the founder of the program, his name is Sri Sri Ravi Shankar. And he just is called Sri Sri. But he's from India and just got into meditation at a young age and became a meditation teacher who taught all around the world. But he just noticed that as he was teaching meditation, it was really hard for people to get into that meditative state, to really quiet their minds enough to meditate. And so he did his own silent retreat, and after 13 days came out with this sky technique, which is really a combination of breath and meditation. And that's about it. And he came up with this idea, this breath work, as a way, kind of like as a vehicle to access a more impactful meditation. Because, because we carry around so much stress, for us to go from like frantic, chaotic lives to sitting and quieting our minds is really hard to do. It can be if you're not in the practice. And so that's what this technique is. It's kind of, relieves.
So it's stress. Just like to transition. It's all focused on letting go of your normal state of life and then getting to that meditative state. So what does he define, or what does the program like define meditative state as then? If it doesn't just mean sitting still and...
Yeah, they didn't really go into that. And I don't think they have this hard and fast idea of meditation.
Okay.
I think their idea of it is very forgiving and loose, just like what we've talked about before, that, you know, even if you have thoughts wandering and things like that, it's fine. But it's really an emphasis on the breath work. And that it's not only a transition into that state, but the breath work in and of itself has huge impact, can have a huge impact on our minds and our bodies. And there's been a ton of research actually done on this specific technique that shows just incredible things. Like, you know, it has been shown to decrease clinical and non-clinical depression. It's been shown to lower blood pressure.
Just by using the different breathing techniques. So if you're not necessarily like in that meditative mindset, but just the breath alone is what affects some of these things, like physical reactions inside your body.
Yeah. So the takeaway at the end of the program is that you have a practice that you can do every day. And then the results of that practice are these things that they've been researching.
Okay.
So really when you walk away from it, it looks like a 20-minute practice every single day. And that as you do it, you have these added benefits in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So like Yale just did a study on students in their university, had two groups. One was an intervention group that did the sky breathing technique, one didn't. And they came out with ton of positive results for those that were able to do the sky breathing.
That participated in the sky group compared to the control group.
Uh-huh. Yep, exactly. Like depression lowered. They were able to manage their stress better. Mental health improved. They said like social connectedness increased, and greater mindfulness too. And it's just cool. They have a YouTube video out on that that's interesting to watch, because you hear the kids actually talking about the impact that it had. And a lot of them just went into it thinking, this is kind of weird. Like, I would never think that like I could use my breath to help myself get to a more calm and relaxed state where I can actually focus on my studies. And it makes me feel better and more connected to the people around me and to myself. But now these kids are implementing it in their everyday life.
So do you feel like you learned that in 3 days? You understand the breathing, the breath technique? And you will.
Yeah, I really do. I liked how immersive, is that a word?
Yeah,
the course was, because it's not just like a 1 hour, here's the technique. Like, you review it every single day and you do it with the group.
Uh-huh.
And it definitely had an impact. Like, when I did it the first time and we were done, my mind was clear. It was just crystal clear. Like, I even tried to think of something that I would normally think about. And I was like, I don't even know what I normally think about. Like, that's how clear my mind is. And I just felt really, I actually felt pretty tired. And they said the neat thing about the sky technique is that whatever your body system needs will happen. So if you kind of detox certain emotions that you've been carrying, or if you're dealing with like chronic pain, or you have a racing thoughts, you know, these are just examples, but every person's response to the technique is going to be different, and your response over time will look different every day.
Mm-hmm.
So we did it a total of 3 times over the weekend, and the third time I did it was very much not like the first time. Like, the first time it felt really intense. Like, I actually felt pain in my back and my neck while I was doing the breathing.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause it's not just like deep breathing for 20 minutes. It's different lengths of breaths, aiming at trying to open up different parts of the lungs that we usually just don't even use.
Oh, wow.
'Cause we're usually breathing just so shallowly. Anyway, but by the end, it was more just the last time we did it, I just felt good. Like, it was just a good feeling of peace and calm. And yeah.
Are you going to be able to integrate it into your life? Are you going to do daily 20 minutes?
Yeah, that was the big question at the end. And they set up a 40-day challenge for our group. So we have a WhatsApp group. We can stay connected and kind of encourage each other to stick to it. But they say, you know, if you do it for these 40 days, then you're more likely definitely it'll be a habit. And it's just like brushing your teeth, that you don't want to go a day without doing this breath technique and exercise. But already, like, this is my first day and I haven't done it yet, and it's 2 p.m., you know? So I think a lot of the discussion among the group was, a lot of people came to this course wanting a little bit more self-awareness. They were wanting some self-discovery and the ability to carve out space in their life to give back to themselves. Mm-hmm. So it was actually pretty emotional among the group members, because, I mean, all of us are carrying around stuff, you know, heavy things.
Right.
And one woman in particular just said, you know, I wanted to do this course for myself because I'm saying yes to so many things and so many people in my life. This is the gift that I'm giving to myself. And going forward, she wanted that, the practice, the daily practice, to be that gift that she gives to herself, because she said she's in the habit of placing her happiness mm-hmm. on external sources. So a person or a thing should somehow provide her inner happiness. And so she's very upset. I mean, this resonates, which is human nature, right?
Right.
That she's just in a constant state of just stress and frustration because she can't find that inner calm, inner peace, inner happiness. But she said, I did this course because I want to learn the skills and acquire the tools that will help me to access that within myself. And really, that is the takeaway. Like, they asked two questions in the beginning where they ask, what do you need in order to feel happy? And then, when are you going to feel happy?
Oh, wow.
And that was kind of the first question to break the ice, which is like kind of a deep question to talk about with strangers, but
that's so interesting. And what do you need to feel happy? I'm thinking of our talk on self-care, because you mentioned that this woman was seeking like that self-care, just putting that value for yourself. And I just listened to a podcast yesterday where it mentioned discomfort as self-care, which is like something we don't think, that sounds like the opposite of self-care. If you're like not making yourself comfortable, because we're thinking of self-care as comfort. And it was really interesting. And it was just like the ability of putting, like, it would make that woman uncomfortable, and I relate to this, to say no to people or to not take on that extra task that someone was asking you to do, or, and that it would be discomforting, but that would be self-care. Like, saying no would be self-care, or finding the time to, you know, dedicate to this class and saying, no, I'm not going to do this for you all or be with you because I'm dedicating this time to my own work and I'm going to take a course on meditation. You know, I thought that was so interesting. And then this, or even that you said like your back hurt and the time that you were doing that, like notice that there can be like discomfort in moments of self-care.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was off on a tangent.
No, it's not. And that resonates with what everyone was sharing in the group. You know, like I said, emotions were high when we were sharing like personal experiences. Because I think that was the whole point of it was, you know, we're all carrying around these balls of stress in the air. But it's not like those are going to go away anytime soon. And if they do, we're just going to acquire new ones. So what is something that we can take with us every single day to kind of navigate the ups and downs, just so that we aren't moving with them so high and so low. And I thought that the question, when are you going to be happy, was pretty interesting, thought-provoking, because we talked about it as a kind of a small group, and it felt almost like a trick question, like, when are you going to be happy? Because I think the reflex is to say, well, when this happens, right, I'm going to be happy, or when we get this thing, or I achieve this certain status in my life. And we put it totally outside of ourselves, like, next spring, yes, you know, April 15th, I'm going to be happy because this is happening. And the whole idea of the course and the practice is that that's the trick. It's like, actually, you can do it right now.
Right now, yeah.
And it's not like a, you know, positive think yourself into a happy state. It's just that inside of us, there's a great capacity to be really still and present with whatever's coming up, even if it's really uncomfortable, like you said. And that is, yeah, attending, yeah, to that part of ourselves.
Oh, I just have to mention that I before we got on this call to talk, I taught the emotional science for gamers, yeah, class, I think I mentioned before. So this is like 12, 13, 14 year old boys that were talking about video games, and I'm bringing in emotional science. And I kind of asked that question, and I said, like, would you be happy if you had $1 million? And because these guys are young, I thought, you know, they were all just going to say, like, yes, I would. Or I said, if it was yours, not your parents, you got to check. But they could all see, like, I don't know, I would be maybe worried that my friends didn't like me for me because now I have $1 million. You know, that you can see that worries would come along with that, and that they recognize that celebrities who have millions of dollars are not necessarily happy, and we see all of that. And I thought it was so astute that these young guys were able to say no and not think, I will be happy when, you know, I do fill in the blank.
Yeah.
Yeah. The next step is figuring out that we can be that right now. Like,
yeah, it's interesting because, you know, it just takes that moment of self-reflection. Like you said, you were talking to teen boys, but they were able to be self-aware enough in that moment to be like, actually, what would the impact of that be? Mm-hmm. Maybe it wouldn't be eternal happiness. And yeah.
Right. And like, what would eternal happiness even feel like? My other question to the today I posed was like, would anything ever feel good if there was no obstacle, if there was no like frustration? So I was tying it to video games. Like, you have to have that point of like, oh, I couldn't do this the first 5 attempts and now I did it. Rather than playing a game where everything just goes along smoothly the whole time, is there ever any happiness there? Thinking of it in terms of life, you know, can we feel grateful like, ooh, here's another obstacle. Like, now it's coronavirus. Let's see if I can do that, but not just feeling miserable about it, but feeling like, ooh, how am I going to do this now? Like, with all of us not being able to go to our sports and go see a movie and all the things, however it affects you. It's so, how, tell me a little bit about the bonding of the group. So it's all total strangers on Zoom. Then are you in like small groups? How do you guys talk to each other?
Yeah. So, well, I actually had a thought with what you were just saying. So let me just get back to that quick and then I'll answer that question. But this is one of the points that they made in the course, what you just said, that they had this moment where they were sharing, they call them golden keys, and they're just kind of little nuggets of wisdom to live by. And the first one was, they called it opposite values are complementary. And they had us just name opposites, just anything that came to mind, like peace and disturbance, love and hate, happiness and sadness, friends and enemy, hope and hopelessness, lazy and active. And then what they did is they took away one side of the list and they left like one, all the ones that we would probably label as positive. So like peace, love, happiness, friends, active. Mm-hmm. And they said, just look at this list of words and think for a moment if it means anything to you without the other ones next to it. And the whole point is that actually, no, like they are just words. It's just a concept. But happiness, like you were saying, doesn't mean anything if there's not that opposite challenging it all the time. And that really resonated with me. And it reminded me of the movie Inside Out. When the little character Sadness is really like the heroine of the show. Did you see it?
I saw that movie. I didn't like that movie.
I actually didn't either.
It really? Was okay.
Disturbing to me. And I did not like the cartoon, the elephant part that they're off in the Twilight Zone. I can't even remember the significance of that part.
Circus. Yeah. I was kind of like, I don't want to teach kids this about emotions.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to pull from it right now. Because actually it kind of creeped me out too. But I did like the takeaway that the character Joy.
Sadness was the heroine. Yeah.
Yeah. The hero, the character Joy.
Oh yeah.
In the end wasn't the one that taught the life lesson. It was Sadness. And that Sadness, had she not experienced Sadness, then she would have no idea what Joy felt like. Mm-hmm. And that's what they were teaching in this course. And I just love that. I think it just helps with, gives us perspective in these, yeah, hard times, right. COVID times, any times.
Yeah, so, definitely. Like, anyway, how do we?
Yeah. Back to your question though. So
yeah, sorry, I totally switched gears, but I'm so fascinated when there's like these group workshops and things like that. And I went to Yogaville once, which is sort of a yoga retreat, and I'm like a silent retreat too. I'd be really interested in what happens there, but I'm not really brave enough to see if I can be quiet for 2 days. So how does the group dynamic play out? Like at first you're all total strangers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's just, you know, you sit down with that intention of probably not exposing yourself or saying too much. Like nobody wants to do that. Get out of their comfort zone.
Yeah.
But the instructors just did a really good job of easing us into that. So it started out with like sharing comments in the chat box or answering a simple open-ended question. They did a lot of the breakout rooms where we were just with one or two other participants, and we could get a little vulnerable with those people and not feel like we were facing the whole group. I think the element of having the volunteers there really helped. They were people that had already done the course, and they were just there to listen and support and also share their experience. And I think they helped to break the ice a little bit. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I mean, they were asking pretty, you know, deep questions like, what do you need to feel happy?
Yeah.
So, but really it was just kind of just started out, of course, like strangers. And then we slowly just opened up more and more over the course of the 3 days. And then by the end, the last session was really impactful because we were essentially sharing our life story with each other is one of the activities that they had us do. And just kind of have a moment of reflection over the course of our life and what, you know, where we're at now and what our priorities are and what matters and how that connected with like the impact of what we had just learned, the actual practice.
Oh, that's so fun and cool. So you took 3 hours every day for 3 days for yourself. Just in your house while your family's still there and stuff, everything was still happening?
Yeah. Yeah. The one on Friday was at night, so that wasn't hard with the younger kids, but Saturday and Sunday were right in the middle of the day. And yeah, my husband was helping with the kids and we put on the TV if we needed to, because it was the type of thing where you don't want to be interrupted. Mm-hmm. But they also have a 1 hour free course. I don't even know if it's a course, but it's just a sample session that gives you a little bit of an idea what the 3-day program is. And so I did that. I did that too.
You did that one first.
I did that initially. And then that's what made me want to do the full course.
Oh, that's so fun. I want to do it now. Did you talk to your friend and did you guys discuss if you had...
I totally did. I she was the first one I texted after I finished the program and I just gushed. I just said that was so good. And thank you so much for recommending it, because I just think I just learned a lot about breath. And I've loved what you've said so many times, that we always have our breath. And they talked a lot about breath. And I just think something so seemingly simple within us that we don't give a lot of attention or credit to is a very powerful tool to use in working with our emotions and our minds. So
I think
it just felt like,
and breath is so unifying. I was thinking about that because we are all such like unique individuals, and think of the world, especially as we move around. You can't be like, oh, in your house, because not everyone has a house, you know, our house looks different to people, or on the trees. Maybe people don't have trees around. There's nothing that we can say that we all have, or even sight, or, and breath is really all of humanity. Everyone has their breath.
It's, and that's really the idea behind the whole organization. Like Sri Sri organized it as a way to reach all of humanity. It's not affiliated with any particular religion or set of faith beliefs. Mm-hmm. It's meant for the entire world, regardless.
Human race.
Yeah. And his whole idea is that, well, I'll just read this quote because it's right in front of me. He says, unless we have a stress-free mind and a violence-free society, we cannot achieve world peace. So, I mean, it's a huge mission, right? They're going for world peace, but their whole thing is that it starts with the individual, and that if that one individual can find a place of inner calm and inner peace, and then they act out of that place of peace, it's going to obviously influence the people around them and have this ripple effect. Mm-hmm. And so the more people that they can reach, you know, the better it is. And they even shared this example of when the founder's done a lot of work in prisons and jails, and even one of the people in prison, at one point he walked in and he yelled at Sri Sri and said, it's your fault that I'm in here. If I would have known these tools before, then I would have never done what I did.
Uh-huh.
And so that's his whole idea, is that if we have these skills to manage our emotions, then maybe we'll act out of a place of more of love, self-love, love for other people, and instead of acting out of our places of stress.
Yeah.
You know?
Peace and understanding. That's a good note to wrap up on, I think, because I have to set up my son for his next Zoom class.
Sounds good.
Okay, that's awesome. Do you have any closing thoughts?
I don't think I do. No, it was just like, so glad I did it.
I'm so glad you did it, because it's really fun for me to hear what you did. And then I really like to do things that someone else has done, so I have some information about it. And I'm like a wimp to do things that I know nothing about.
Yeah. And I try, you know, I feel like I've taken these type of courses before. And so it's not like, oh, this is the first one I've ever done and it was awesome. Like, it was coming from a place of knowing what other courses are like. This was, well, I'd say it's well worth my time and the money too. So
awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, good. All right.
Thanks. All right. Thanks, Angie.